Okay, it's 7 o'clock, and we seem to have enough people here to start this meeting. So I'm going to call this meeting of the Environment and Land Use Committee to order. If the clerk would call the roll.
Ms. Anderson.
Here.
Mr. Dennett.
Here.
Mr. Gladney.
Here.
Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Langenheim.
Here.
Mr. Kurtz.
Here.
Mr. Mosier. Mr. Schrader's absent. Ms. Wysocki.
Here.
Quorum established.
Okay. Need a motion to approve the agenda for tonight? Motion by Ms. Anderson, seconded by Mr. Kurtz. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I need a motion to approve the minutes of our October 14th, 2008 meeting. Use your microphone, please. Motion's been made. Let's get a second. Seconded by Ms. Anderson.
A couple of minor corrections. Page 6, line 1, that sentence just hangs. I think was built should be added to that.
Page 6, line...
Less than it was before the wind farm, period. And then there's a line, page 9, line 3, another one sort of like that. Broadlands or more north, I would make to the north.
Yeah.
There are quite a few of those things in there. Is this take directly from tape?
That's the intent.
Hmm?
That's the intent.
Yeah, well...
Say northwest, if that's what you want to say. Northwest.
More to the northwest,
yeah.
Well, I'll agree to all that. I just want the sentences to hang together.
Okay. Any others?
Sort of unreasonable, I realize.
Yes.
The minutes should show that Alan Kurtz was present. Actually, the minutes do, but the listing on the front of the minutes does not, and his name should be added there.
Oh, so it is. Okay. Anything else? Okay. All those in favor of the agenda, the minutes as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is there any correspondence?
No.
Okay. Public participation. I have a number of people asking to speak. Terry Legner.
Good evening. I'm here to speak on behalf of the City of Champaign and just let you know that, I'm sorry, I'm Terry Legner, Economic Development Manager with the City of Champaign. Last Tuesday evening, the City Council considered this proposed Enterprise Zone Boundary Amendment, and I'm here to report that they approved that boundary amendment 5 to 1. We had a few members absent. So I'm here this evening to answer any questions that you may have at the time.
Thank you. John, do you want to speak? Oh, well, go ahead.
Good evening. I'm John Dimmitt. I'm the interim CEO of the Economic Development Corporation. And I'm here to also speak regarding the Enterprise Zone expansion that's requested tonight. I know a couple of issues and concerns that are usually connected to Enterprise Zone in that this is not an expansion that consumes additional farmland. This is land that's already platted and is already in use. I also particularly want to talk about the nature of the company that will be assisted this evening. This is a high-tech company that's a spin-out from the University of Illinois. It's a successful one. It's been in business for several years, and it's proposed that they're going to double their manpower. This is exactly the type of industry that we want to encourage in Champaign County. I think that it's absolutely critical to the mission of the EDC that we support these types of companies, and so that's why we're here to talk about it. Likewise, we also at the EDC, I'm the only one here tonight, will be able to answer any questions when this comes up on your agenda item, if you have any for us.
Thank you. And Mr. Hurtman?
Hi, my name is Cornell Hartman. I'm the president and CEO of EpiWorks, which is a company that is located in the proposed enterprise zone boundary expansion area. I'd like to thank you for considering the proposal. And as John mentioned out, we are a spin out of the University of Illinois. We started up in 1997 and are growing the business. We are expanding our facility right now, and we have a plan to, we have about 31 people in the company. We expect to be adding somewhere between 10 and 15 people per year for the next couple of years. And in addition to that, we will be doubling our production space. We'll be investing about $4.5 million in the facility this year and expect to be putting in similar amounts subsequent years as the company grows. We compete against, most of our sales are in the U.S., but we compete against a lot of international companies located in Taiwan and Japan. And while we've been able to grow the company and succeed here in Champaign, which is our plan when we started, it is very competitive in price, and the enterprise zone will allow us to expand as affordably as possible through the state tax credits and the use credits for bringing in equipment and machinery. So that's really the benefit that we'll be receiving by being included in the enterprise zone. That's pretty much it. I'll be here to answer any questions if you have any. Thanks.
Thank you. Ms. Schilt?
My name is Sherry Schilt, and I'm speaking for both myself and my husband, Herb, who can't be here right now because he has a township board meeting, and he's going to try and come if his meeting ends early enough. Excuse me. I also have a cold, so you have to forgive me. I've come to express some concerns regarding the proposed text amendment pertaining to wind farms. Our main concern is that the county not rush into something that has such a profound impact on the land and the quality of life of its residents. Although wind turbines are expected to play a role in supplying our nation's energy needs, we believe that their placement in Champaign County must be carefully analyzed so as to protect the rights of all landowners and the quality of life that we all enjoy. There are two key points to understand about commercial wind turbines. First, they are very large. They tower over the landscape in a way like nothing else in rural Champaign County. They are easily visible from over 15 miles away. We can see the McLean County wind towers from our place, which is 15 miles away. We're north of Mahomet. And within 5 miles, they dominate the horizon. A house that is within 1,000 feet of a wind turbine, which is the separation distance being proposed, is simply dwarfed. This can be verified by taking a short drive towards Saybrook in McLean County. As you will see, the effects of a wind farm are felt by a very large number of people over a wide area. And really, you need to go and see this in person. There's no, you just can't get a feel for it if you just look at a photograph. And second, wind turbines are commercial power plants. And they're located hundreds of feet in the air with the typical overall height of 400 feet or more. That's over 40 stories high. We don't have anything like that around here. They make noise. They strobe the sunlight as they rotate during sunrise and sunset. They require ongoing maintenance. And depending upon conditions and design, the tip speed of their rotors can approach 170 miles per hour or more. In addition, there is growing concern about the adverse health effects and safety of wind turbines for people who live near them. In short, commercial wind turbines constitute industrial-scale power production that greatly impacts the surrounding area. Because commercial wind turbines are for-profit industrial power generators, we believe that their installation should be subject to the approval of all affected property owners, townships, and municipalities, and that the final decision to site a wind turbine should require a county board vote. This is important because wind farms have such a large impact on the county as a whole. It seems only fitting that they should be subject to county board approval. Regarding the proposed text amendment, and I realize that this isn't formal yet, but it's out there for your consideration, we believe that this form has several problems. Here are three. First, the proposed amendment currently requires only a special use permit to site a wind turbine. This is not adequate. Instead, a special use permit and a MAP amendment should be required to site one. This will give neighboring landowners, townships, and municipalities a say on whether a wind turbine is appropriate in their location and the ability to formally protest it if they believe that it isn't. It will also require county board approval to authorize the wind turbine. All affected landowners must be compensated for the negative effects of a commercial wind farm. The current proposal does not require this. It's a simple idea. One person should not profit at the expense of another. And third, the proposed 1,000-foot setback is insufficient. A much larger setback is needed. Furthermore, the setback from a property line must be equal to or greater than the setback from a dwelling or principal use. Otherwise, an adjacent landowner could be deprived of the ability to establish a use on a portion of his or her own land because of a wind turbine located on a neighbor's property. Simply put, a wind farm in Champaign County will fundamentally and profoundly change the character of the county. Furthermore, it is our view that given the population density, topography, and unique character of Champaign County, commercial wind turbines are inappropriate, and we urge you to not allow them. In any event, a decision to allow commercial for-profit wind turbines must not be entered into hastily, and above all, the rights of all landowners must be protected. And I did take some photographs up in the McLean County thing when it was getting started, but I didn't have any that gave the right perspective with the wind towers versus the a house or a barn. So I found a couple pictures on the internet, and you can just pass these around. It gives at least a flavor of what it's like. But really, you need to go there yourself and take a look and just get in the center of it and think what it's like to live there. Attached to the remarks are several articles that I thought you'd find of interest. And for John, I didn't have a lot of time to do a lot of research, but I did find an ordinance for Trempealeau County, Wisconsin. So I've got a copy. I thought you might be. It's a little different than this one. So, I thank you. Okay.
I have five people signed in regarding the Dewey Bank issue. Does anyone want to speak at this time, or do you want to wait until we get to that on the agenda? Okay. I'm going to... Before I close off public participation, I'm going to exercise my prerogative as chair to say something now rather than at the end of the meeting, because we always seem to end in a bit of a crash. But I think you are all aware of the fact that this is the last meeting of this particular ELUC session. And I think I would be remiss as chair to not thank you all for your service on this committee. I think we have performed admirably these past 2 years. That doesn't mean we've always agreed or that we've always satisfied each other or that we have satisfied the public. But I've been very pleased with the diligence that each member has exercised in doing the work of this committee. I've been impressed with the level of conversation that has gone on some very difficult issues, and I really do appreciate the effort that you have put into being good members of this Environment and Land Use Committee. I hope that a number of you are back, because continuity on a committee like this, I think, is extremely important, and that we can also find a good way to integrate some new blood among those who were just elected or other board members who may want to join this committee. And I think we have a good pattern established, and I hope we can keep this tradition going. So thank you all very much. Okay, next we have some updates. Susan Monty is here to give us an update on the Land Resource Management Plan as well as the Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Well, since the October meeting, ELUC meeting, there have not been any additional Land Resource Management Plan Steering Committee meetings because of harvest. Now that harvest is over, for the most part, the Steering Committee will resume their review of the county land use and resource management goals, objectives, and policies this Thursday. We expect that this committee will schedule some additional meetings between now and the next ELUC meeting to expedite their review, a careful review of the agriculture and other land use policies. So not much to report at this time. You should have all received a packet about that upcoming meeting. And moving on to the hazard mitigation plan, we are identifying mitigating actions to be considered by each participating jurisdiction. We've developed a public preference survey, which will be distributed online, and we expect to be making contacts with representatives from each jurisdiction to discuss what they currently are doing and what they might consider as a mitigating active action to address natural hazards such as tornadoes, winds, storms, and floods. Any questions? All right.
Thank you. Okay, next is the Enterprise Zone Boundary Amendment.
Move approval.
Motion's been made to approve the joint Champaign County, City of Champaign Enterprise Zone, seconded by Mr. Mosier. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next is zoning case 638-AM-08. This is a request to change the designated district from Ag 1 to B2 for purposes of erecting a new Dewey State Bank. Motion made by Mr. Dennitz, seconded by Mr. Mosier. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Hardly worth your while to come out here, is it? Okay. Next item is zoning case 583-AT-07. This is initiated by their zoning administrator, which is to establish a pipeline impact radius. Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Mosier, seconded by Mr. Dennis. Is there discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Let's hope number 10 goes as quickly. Next item is the requirements for the wind turbine development. Mr. Hall, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, there is a thin one-page memo tonight on this. This one-page memo outlines alternative fees. What was sent out in the agenda indicated that I would have a fee recommendation tonight. And the committee may remember back in September you reviewed fees. And at that time I was thinking that if we just applied the basic area fee for rezonings to the special use permit, it would generate a fee that is in keeping with what other counties have, what other counties charge for wind farms. Since then, I think that that approach actually might not work for us. We're actually defining the area of the wind farm a lot better than most counties define it. And on the way that we're defining the area of the wind farm, I think instead of that fee being comparable to what other counties have charged, say $70,000 for a 100-unit wind farm, I think you might end up with only in the low 20s. And I really don't think that's a reasonable fee considering the complexity and magnitude of a wind farm development. Also, it would be difficult to assess that fee quickly. We'd have to actually review the application. What I would recommend that you go with is a per turbine fee. And like currently our special use permit fee is $400 for something that's no bigger than 2 acres. If you applied that per turbine, that would be a begin to be a reasonable fee. But frankly, I think that, again, wind turbine farms, because they're so complex, we have this list of standard requirements. Just going through the list of standard requirements is a lot of work. I frankly would recommend a 50% increase over our current special use fee of $400. So charge $600 per wind turbine, and for a 100-tower farm, that would be $60,000. I think that's actually less than what McLean County would charge for a similar scale, or it would be close. It's difficult to compare because they go on an area basis, and they're not real clear about the area of the wind farm. That makes me uncomfortable. Our proposal outlines exactly how we're going to determine the area of the wind farm. I think that it's going to be smaller than what a county like McLean County considers the area of the wind farm. So I prefer this per wind turbine fee. Now, I know that the county is talking about having a review of all fees occur sometime in the coming year. And my recommendation would be, let's go with the fee that you're comfortable with now, and if we get this general review of our fees later in the year, we could revisit this if necessary. But with this fee and with the list of recommendations that went out with the agenda, if you're comfortable with that, we're ready to proceed into advertisement for public hearings, and public hearings start hopefully no later than February. This is a big text amendment to draft. It'll be our top priority, but we're not going to stop working on other cases. So this is going to be a challenge to us to get done. In the old days, we would have given a project like this to our special projects planner. We don't have a special projects planner, and our long-range planner is working full-time on the land resource management plan. So this is the first time since we started working on the land resource management plan that we're doing a major, very major text amendment. And we'll get it done as quickly as possible, but it's going to be a challenge.
Don, do you know what Ford County is going to do? I got a letter a week ago saying that that one east of Paxton is probably going to go, and they're They've optioned 3,500 acres, and they're having a meeting on the 22nd to fill in the blanks on a lot of things. I didn't know if you talked to anybody up there or not.
Yeah, I have. We've got a copy of their zoning ordinance. They adopted the model ordinance almost verbatim. And, for example, they're requiring the 1,000-foot separation from dwellings, but only the lesser separation to property lines. So I would not recommend you adopt what Ford County adopted. I would recommend greater separations, but I don't think that's going to be a special problem.
What are they doing about fees? Have they got any? Has anything been? I have a tight suspicion I'm going to hear about it on the 22nd. They're to the point they're ready to move.
They adopted a special fee, Steve, but, you know, I'm at a loss right now to remember it. If you want, we could come back with a review of, you know, of all the various fees, but I don't recall what they did in the way of fees. I've got it here, but I'd have to...
I don't have any problem with what you're recommending. I just wonder what other counties are doing beside McLean.
Woodford and LaSalle County have fees similar to McLean. All counties have taken the approach that they're not going to subsidize this. This is a big headache, and they want to recapture as many fees as they can. And, you know, there's a couple of legal challenges, and if you get a legal challenge...
We'll get one.
Good luck with the fee covering the cost of your... Attorney's times. So, you know, it's a reasonable fee. It's comparable with what others have done.
Mr. Leggenheim.
Just why do we have to have a fee? What do we get out of a fee? What's the rationale behind the fee?
You would be subsidizing less of the cost of the zoning case from the rest of the general corporate fund.
In other words, we're subsidizing the costs of granting it and supervision.
And the idea of the fees is to recapture as much of that as we can.
Is this a tax?
I don't consider it a tax, it's a fee.
These are just questions. Okay.
Any other questions? Mr. Jones?
John, the one that's proposed up east of Gifford, do you know how many windmills are proposed for that development?
I think it's about a little over 100, Brad.
And we've not heard any complaints from landowners up there? Any concerns or complaints?
I think we've heard some concerns. We've got at least one call from a landowner who was wondering, is the county going to do anything about that? And we explained to them that, in fact, we're going to amend our ordinance so we can have a better set of rules for it, and they never called back.
Okay, I guess that's just my major concern with this. There's such a massive proportion, massive size of these things, that they do affect the surrounding landowners, and that's just one thing I'm concerned that one landowner can put it in and get this benefit, and the neighbor doesn't get anything. Is there compensation for the surrounding landowners in our ordinance? No, but just...
No, we're not. I would not recommend anything in the ordinance like that. I would leave it up to the private sector. When you require this 1,000-foot separation from the wind turbine to the edge of the development, somehow they have to get that landowner to agree to be part of the development. And, you know, I hope the landowner makes it worth their while, but I would not recommend you writing anything into the ordinance. Now, I would say that Christina and I have talked about this a lot. We're comfortable with the special use permit approach, but if you're not comfortable with it, I really think that we could justify including a MAP amendment. A wind farm is unlike anything else. I really think you could go either way, but I can't say this enough. We're comfortable at a staff level with the county board special use permit.
Well, the MAP amendment gives protest rights to the...
The MAP amendment would add protest rights. You shouldn't go with a MAP amendment just to give protest rights. If you go with a MAP amendment, you're saying, we think this is materially different than what we want to have happen throughout our Ag 1 district, and it needs to be a map amendment because it is so materially different. When I look at it, in my view, the only thing that is compatible with a wind farm is agriculture. What other land use could go right up to the base of a tower and not be a problem? Nothing other than agriculture, as far as I can see.
Mr. Mosier?
I don't know this for a fact, but I know, you know, in some of those cases where there's an adjoining property owner that doesn't want it there, they're getting compensated the same amount of money as if they had one from the company that does it. And that, to me, only makes good sense on the part of the developer. If they want to share the wealth, well, that's fine. And I think in a lot of cases they've got to make these go, because there's going to be easement problems with those high-tension buried lines to get to these big high-tension lines they got to tap into. And if somebody gets in the way, it's going to cause them a lot of trouble if they don't compensate them about what they paid the guy that put up the windmill.
I would like to point out two things about the one location that we know of in northeastern Champaign County. Number one, there is an isolated tract of CR zoning that wind farm, the proposal that I've seen, will include. I would never propose to allow wind farms in the CR district. But I'm familiar with that tract of land, and frankly, I don't know why it's in the CR district. I would recommend that it be rezoned at whatever time this wind farm is actually proposed. But I want to make you aware of that. Number two, Steve, you probably know this, that wind farm is going to completely surround the area of Daly where there's the grain elevator and the fertilizer plant. One special use permit completely surrounding other land uses. You know, I'm eager to see what they're actually proposing in the way of tracts of land that are part of the special use permit. But out of the 1,000 square miles of Champaign County where they could have proposed the wind farm, I'm sorry that those two things are right in the middle of the wind farm, but it's
that,
something
that elevator's closed, and I think FS would be glad to close that fertilizer plant too.
Mr. Langenheim. Ms. Anderson.
Where is the CR district you're talking about? And say it's near Gifford? Is it what, east of Gifford?
It's east of Gifford. As you're coming down the county highway, you recall that long sweeping curve?
South of Penfield.
South of Penfield.
Okay.
And there's
north of Royal. That elevator's 2.5 miles north of Royal.
Okay.
On that slab between Royal and Penfield. That's going to be the middle of it.
So it's not really wooded?
No. No, it's an old pasture, and it appears to be, in fact, you know, quite eroded in places. I mean, it's along a stream.
And that's where you see the cows in the stream.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Okay.
So that would eventually get rezoned into industrial as well?
Yeah, I would not propose to allow wind farms in the CR district. I think if there's any portion of CR district that's suitable for a wind farm, it should be rezoned to Ag 1.
Anyone else? Mr. Jones?
So John, make sure I'm clear on this. The proposal you've got here is 1,000 feet setback to the structure, the neighboring structure. And how did we come up with that?
That's what the model ordinance recommends. And I think, Brad, I think that's based on one of the promotional brochures talks about 750 to 1,000 feet being the distance that's normally required for the sound to diminish enough to where it's not really distinguishable from other landscape sounds. So I think that distance is based on the attenuation of sound from the wind turbines. And that 1,000 feet is also what I would recommend. Well, 900 feet is what I'm recommending for the buffer from the wind turbine tower to the edge of the special use permit. Only 900 feet. If someone's going to, you know, the average lot width in the Ag 1 district is 200 feet, so if they put their home, they're going to have some flexibility where to locate their home on a new parcel of land. You could bump it up to the full 1,000 feet if you want. You know, these are the kinds of, this will have to go through a public hearing at the zoning board, and the zoning board will be looking at these numbers a lot. And what comes back to you may actually be somewhat different based on the zoning board. But I agree with the point that Sherry Schilt made earlier. The distance from the wind turbines to the perimeter of the development is just as important as the distance from the wind turbines to any existing or future homes, because the concerns are the same.
Mr. Langenheim.
I would just like to go on record as favoring a MAP amendment. These things are so large, so extensive, they completely alter the aspect of the environment for miles around. There's noise, there's effect on wildlife, there's the constant bustle, the change of the aspect of the countryside. I think people that are within sight of it should have some means of expressing their opinions on it, and a MAP amendment sounds to me like the only way to do that.
One reason that from the staff level we didn't go with a MAP amendment is precisely because they are so tall, whether you're right next to it or 2 miles away, you know.
I would submit that you are affected at the distance of 2 miles. I've not seen one at Saybrook, but I've seen plenty of wind farms all over the world. And when you've got a wind farm in there, the countryside is altered in a major way, just visually. But you also have the effect on the environment, the wildlife, the bats, the birds, the bees, everything, the noise that can or may not make, the effect on the light, so on and so forth. I really think that the public should have some way, anybody that's affected by it should have some way of affecting the permitting of it.
Do you want to put that in the form of a motion? All you said was you wanted to go on.
Is that appropriate at this time?
Well, you've got a motion.
Well, we've got.
We don't have any motion at all. Yet.
Well, we do have a motion on the floor.
Well, yes.
Wait a minute. We don't have a motion.
No,
on
you
the
don't.
Floor.
You don't have a motion on the floor, no. And you shouldn't.
Okay.
Because this is going to the ZBA, so it's not appropriate for you guys to take any action before the ZBA acts.
Okay.
Not really.
I mean, the proposal. Don't do it.
You have to be really careful about what you all direct the zoning administrator to do before this goes to the ZBA. And I would not make any motions on that issue before it goes to the ZBA. So he's listening to your discussion, but you can't. No, John, they can't, because they're supposed to be the hearing board. Once
right.
The ZBA takes this on, they're the hearing board. They're supposed to listen to all the stuff objectively and not say what their position is.
We get direction from this committee every time we do a text amendment.
But not by motion. Not until you prepare the text amendment.
Okay.
And it goes to the ZBA. Your rules are real specific on this. You can't have motions on this before it goes to the ZBA, but you're getting direction from the committee by their comments. I really don't think you can do this as a motion.
Okay. But again, just for clarification, once ZBA has acted on this, it does come back to us, and then if we want to make, if MAP amendments are not there, we have the right to make a motion to that effect?
Correct.
Is that okay?
Correct. So what you're doing tonight is you're giving the zoning administrator your input as to what you've seen with the text amendment already, but you're not directing him to change the text amendment.
Okay.
You're just saying these are your concerns, and they may or not make any difference on this.
Okay. And you understand there is no text amendment at this time.
Right.
It hasn't been noticed.
But it's real close. You're close, right?
Well, again, this is what we do every time we get direction from this committee, so they're not surprised when it comes back to them.
Right.
The last time I did a text amendment and didn't get direction from this committee, it was rejected.
Well, you know, I think the way your rules are written about the role of this committee and the role of the zoning board, even though there's no published text amendment at this point, we have to be very careful about crossing the line. When this committee has to hear the evidence after the ZBA has taken its position. So my preference would be you're getting direction from what you're hearing tonight. You can get more direction if you want to without a motion. And I would strongly suggest the motion is something coming from this body as a hearing officer saying we're predetermining how this is going to go. The whole purpose of the public hearings by the zoning board is to give the opportunity for there to be changes or clarifications to that text amendment before it comes back here.
Okay, so at this point, all we have is one committee member saying he would like to see a MAP amendment included with the windmill.
Right.
And that's all appropriate at this time.
Yes. Right. And if others want it.
I thought too when I started out.
Okay.
And you were right.
And if anyone wants to chime in with that same message, this would be the opportunity to do it. Ms. Anderson.
I hear what Susan's saying. I guess my question is more for her maybe than for John. But are we kind of indicating that we want to see this go to ZBA?
I didn't hear you.
We don't have a text amendment. We've got something here proposed.
It's still a draft. It's an idea.
Is it appropriate for this committee, though, to say we want them to proceed with the text amendments? But maybe it would come back in a different form after, or with some changes. Oh, you don't even want that.
Respectfully, and I understand the position of the zoning director in the situation because this has been a problem before, but I think the way that this whole particular action is structured, the purpose of how the text amendment proceeds is to have it go to the Zoning Board of Appeals with the public hearings and all the things that they do to act on a text amendment, remembering that the ZBA also has the authority to change the text amendment pursuant to comments and things that have come up from the public. And once the ZBA takes action and makes their recommendation to you all, then you all also have the authority to make whatever changes you think are appropriate or reject what the ZBA has done altogether. You're not bound by what they do. But your place in this particular action is to act as a hearing board, to act as a final board of action after the ZBA has conducted its public hearings and has taken action on the text amendment. And I'm afraid even without an actual draft, that if you are prejudging whatever action the ZBA is going to take, you have compromised your position and your authority in how this whole thing works. And there's case law that talks about this. So if we're worried about what's going to happen along the way, I think we need to be careful about what actions this committee takes.
Okay. Mr. Mosier.
Well, if this county doesn't want them, Vermilion County is a mile away from Daly, and they're going to find a way to get in into that power line north of Royal, and they're going to find a way to use an 80,000-pound road that we paid for an ethanol plant that never got built. And you're not going to, it's not going to make any difference whether it's a mile inside Champaign County or it's a mile at east in the Vermilion County. You're going to see them and you're going to hear them and they're going to be there. And if you don't want them, that's fine. But they're going to be there. They're going to be at Penfield, a mile north of the Forest Preserve, right on the county line. I mean, these other counties want them. We don't want them. That's fine. But they're going to be there where you can see them whether you want to or not.
Mr. Langenheim.
With due respect, your comment regarding they're using an 80,000-pound road that we built for an ethanol plant that didn't get built, that was a lot of enthusiasm for that ethanol plant when it was being proposed. There's a lot of enthusiasm for this, and enthusiasm must be tempered with careful analysis and, I think in this case, caution.
I think it's wonderful that you can sit there and tell a landowner and compromise or Kerr Township what to do with their ground. I mean, it's just wonderful that you can make a decision like that to somebody that owns a farm up there that wants one of these. It's income to the people that own it, and I think it's really pretty damn petty that people that sit on this board can make decisions that affect people's livelihood as much as these things are going to affect it.
Other discussion? Does anyone else want to weigh in on a map amendment? Mr. Gladney.
So I'm with Ralph on winning a map amendment.
I would add my voice to that as well.
Seems reasonable.
Is there any other direction that you want to give Mr. Hall at this point on this proposal? Okay. Monthly reports.
We've been accumulating a backlog of monthly reports that were due tonight. I've handed out 4, June, July, August, and September. Did not get October's done. One thing that I'm going to start spending more time on in the monthly report is updating you on the status of our compliance inspections. Before 1998, there was always a list of compliance inspections that had been done in the previous month. At the end of 1998, there was a major change in staffing in the department, and you haven't gotten a monthly report with compliance inspections since. But last year in the budget process, I made a goal of that our department do 5 inspections on average a week. And this summer, the zoning technicians finally got time to go out and start doing inspections. And if I had October's monthly report here to you, you'd see that we've actually met that goal. It's a minor thing, but what it does indicate, and I'm very proud of this, is that the restructuring of the department that happened back in January of 06 has finally benefited the county, because we've now been doing compliance inspections again, and in fact we met our goal for the year, and I have every reason to think that's going to continue. We are not doing much better on enforcement. Some of you knew that our zoning officer actually has been out for the past 6 weeks for major surgery. She's back getting back up to speed, so we'll focus next on enforcement. We actually did some enforcement while she was out, so I hope in the next year you'll see that we continue with our focusing on compliance inspections and actually finally start to make a dent in the enforcement. My goal for this year is to stop the growth in the backlog of enforcement cases. That is going to be a challenge, but I think we can at least stop the growth. We've continued to grow throughout this year with unenforced enforcement complaints, but I really think we can stop that this year and hopefully start to make that go down. So those four monthly reports are there. You can either accept those this month or review those and come back with questions. Our permitting in September really took a nosedive. Permitting really did drop off. Our zoning cases have not dropped off. Our zoning cases, we've taken in twice as many zoning cases as we did last year. If you look at the number of cases completed, the ZBA has completed the same number of cases. What that means is we're starting to build up a ZBA docket again. And right now, we're docketing cases for January. That's much better than it has been in previous years. I imagine that we're going to see a drop-off in caseload also, but it hasn't happened yet.
Thank you. I think I want to just back up once again to the wind farm issue, because we didn't give you any direction on the fee scale. Do you need something from us?
Well, I don't really know what I can ask for at this point, so I'm going to go with that bottom alternative, the one I recommended, and if any ELUC member wants to make any comments, I'll make note.
Okay. And again, the fees are subject to a hearing at ZBA, and then they will come back to us as part of the complete package.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Langenheim.
Would you like a straw vote on that?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Old business. Discussion of Ordinance 836, amending the Enterprise Zone on Anthony Drive.
Ms. Wasaki, I can explain that. What happened is we passed this Ordinance number 836, which added the property at 1400 Anthony Drive, which previously known as the International Site of Arboricultural, with ISA. At the time it was done, there was a buyer in place who was going to buy the property. What happened was that buyer backed out. And so the city of Champaign asked me to, first they came to say, well, do you want to do something about it? I said, well, I don't know. Tell me, is there anything wrong with that? So we've had some discussions back and forth. Well, I think they actually have another buyer in mind, but, you know, it's still ongoing. I think they just were concerned that what we were told didn't happen. Certainly this still fits the definition of why this property should be within the Enterprise Zone. It's in an area that needs to be redeveloped. Our resolution is not specific that said that this only will pass if just one buyer buys it. It's sort of generic resolution, so that doesn't prevent somebody else from coming in and doing the same thing. So I just want this sort of an FYI to this committee, and if nobody cares to do anything about it, I'll just sign off on the resolution, which of course the county board passed off on that, and that'll be the end of the story. So if anybody has any problem with me just signing off on it, let me know now.
Sorry, Ms. Anderson.
I'm not quite sure I understand that. We have someone that's called the public participation that has a company there that you're talking about.
I'm talking about
that's
the one
different.
That, this is different. This is not the one that, not this one here.
Oh, okay.
We voted on this
sorry.
Last month.
Okay.
It's similar. Yeah. This is, again, just one, basically one lot, though, next to the Pepsi company.
Okay. Mr. Kurtz.
Correct.
Sitting there, that I had talked about, that I had visited and
correct.
Yes,
and discussed that. Remember
okay.
that.
Correct.
I think we should continue to keep it as part of the Enterprise Zone.
You need to speak more directly into your microphone, please.
Closer to the mic. Closer to the mic.
Sorry. Since it sits in the middle of the Enterprise Zone, I still think it's a good incentive for someone to come in and purchase that. As an incentive to improve that one lot. I don't think there's any reason to change the designation that we voted on.
Thank you.
Okay. So for the consent agenda, we have two zoning cases that will go on, and that's pretty much our business.
Enterprise zone?
Oh, in the enterprise zone, which also will go on consent. Okay? I guess that's our business for tonight. We stand adjourned.
Be adjourned.
Yeah, and I've got that.